Well, good day and welcome to another episode here of the Disaster Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic, and I'd just like to thank you all for coming in and checking us out here. It's the holiday season. I know that there's not a lot of time to do things, so taking time to listen to this episode is certainly special to me and the rest of the team here at the Disaster Podcast. I do want to thank you all for doing that, and we'll get into this episode. This is our look forward, what's going to be coming up in 2020 here on the Disaster Podcast, and I really think you're going to enjoy this episode. We have a really variety of things we're hoping to do in the coming year, and you'll hear from all the members of the regular podcast team here, from Joe Holly, Sam Bradley, my co-host, both our meteorologists, Kyle Nelson and Becky DePodwin, all here on the show talking about what they're looking forward to getting into in the coming year. And over at the Disaster Podcast Facebook group, you can both check out this episode and then leave a comment. What do you want to see us cover in the coming year? So definitely make an opportunity to go do that. So let's go ahead without further ado and get on into this episode of the Disaster Podcast, where we look at what's coming up for this show in 2020.
My favorite was another Kyle show. The discussion about emergency dispatchers, the forgotten first responders. And we've also talked about stress in terms of meteorologists and dispatchers, because we don't think about them too much. And I really, having been a dispatcher and having done dispatcher QI for a large fire department, I appreciate the fact that not everybody in the field, like you said, there's a lot we don't see about the infrastructure of putting the X Games together, or Sam Schiller's event, or any of these things. People don't get the big picture of everything that's involved, both prior to, during, and after the fact. And I really appreciate the fact that he has obviously a great perspective being a 911 dispatcher and was able to share that with us. And I'm sure other dispatchers out there appreciate it as well. You want to throw out some thoughts on that, Kyle?
Well, Sam, I, again, appreciate the flowers on that. Not the Kyle show by any means for those episodes. Lots of great input from the rest of the podcast team as well. But for that episode specifically, I think that it was, for me, it was important to share that message, that story, as you said, in that, you know, as 911 dispatchers, we're not just, you know, that voice on the other end of a phone for those that call in, not just the voice on the other end of a radio for our responders that we interface with on the day-to-day, but there's a lot of other skill sets and backgrounds that we bring in with being able to communicate with callers in crisis and coordinating and organizing resources from the most simple to the very complex responses that occur within our areas and even within neighboring agencies. And additionally, the mental health implications, both for acute and long-term stress injuries and things that really have recently come into the light, but also now with the reclassification fight that's going on nationally for 911 dispatchers to be going from clerical workers to first responders, that's really taken hold at the local level, with Pitkin County being the first in Colorado to do it and others. So we're now getting the word out there that we're not just drones, we're not just, you know, people on the other end of a phone line or a radio, but we're humans that are very skilled and able to do much more than just the day-to-day things that we people typically see.
And I would love to talk more about that as we go along. And Becky, kind of on a related note, you know, people think of meteorologists as the guy standing in front of the blue screen on the TV. And obviously, there's a lot of people like you also in the background that are having to look at forecasting, which may not be, you know, something you often chastise for. But you've also mentioned about the, you know, mental health of meteorologists, some of the things you go through. So I think those two things have some similarities. You want to throw out some thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think there definitely are similarities. I think at the very heart of it, at the end of the day, the work that we do, if our job exists, that means that somewhere people are being negatively impacted. You know, if you're answering the phone at a 911 dispatch center, someone's having a very bad day. If I'm issuing a forecast and it's not sunny and 75, then it's, you know, it means that bad weather is going to hit somewhere and impact somebody negatively. And that's the reality, but it's also part of, I think, why we do what we do, because we want to make a difference and help people either get to safety or get the help that they need. But it's hard to get your head around that sometimes. It's hard to know that every day that you go to work that, you know, somewhere someone's being impacted by something that you're really passionate about. That's been something that's been difficult for me to come to terms with, is that I love the weather. It's honestly my number one passion in life. And the first time I realized, like, oh my goodness, this, you know, people have been killed because of tornadoes. Like, it's really hard to get your head around. But it's also, you know, what drives us forward to make innovations and to constantly try and be better. That, and I think the other commonality is that both fields require shift work. And that leads to lack of sleep, which can set off a whole host of physical and emotional obstacles. So there's a lot of similarities and a lot that we're still learning about how our fields and what we do every single day can impact us on an emotional level.
Weather first responders. It kind of all goes together, doesn't it, Jamie?
I think so. And, you know, I think one of the things we've done a lot of over the last year has been to look at, and this is something we've done since the beginning, but look at the wellness of the responders. And that has now been expanded in our group and among many groups to include dispatchers, to include all those involved with response, and the aftermath of these types of events, including the meteorologists who are going in to grade the level of damage for tornado classification, or to do any of this kind of on-the-ground reporting during an event like a hurricane. They're as much involved with getting the word out and educating people as our disaster preparedness community response teams are in many ways.
Exactly. Joe, thoughts?
Well, I think they summed it up nicely. It is indeed just part of the bigger picture in the whole team. It takes a phenomenal variety of skills, people, knowledge, and expertise to plan and perform in the situations that we talk about every day. I think it's just another example of how broadly based that expertise goes.
And my last one, which I know Joe loved also, we talked a lot about USAR dogs specifically as far as the training and care and feeding. But the one that Sarah Frances McClure did on pet preparedness and evacuation for owners and responders, I thought was particularly good because it really addressed a lot of the issues that responders have when they get out there and people have pets and won't leave them, and, you know, how to prepare ahead of time and what, you know, what to pack for them. But people don't always think about that ahead of time. So, you know, anything involving dogs is certainly on my list, but, you know, that one's a special one to me. Were you on there for that one, Joe?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, you're right. It's another one of my favorite things, which is animals. And that one was a lot of fun and very informative, especially insightful.
We kind of talked about general categories, and I think through the podcast that we picked, you have a general idea of what we like the most. And I'm just going to kind of run through the list. But Joe, of course, loves the clinical stuff, as mentioned, followed by disaster response. Becky's favorite topic is weather, duh. Also, she kind of combined disaster preparedness and logistics. That kind of makes sense. And as we touched on, stress and EMS disaster for meteorologists and dispatchers. Kyle also agrees with disaster preparedness for both natural hazards and planned events. Jamie, as we can tell, loves the logistics and technology in disaster response, which I'm sure we'll be talking more about. And also, and I agree on this, the international response and sharing techniques in response. My favorite topic is the care and feeding of disaster responders, be them USAR, EMS, dispatchers, meteorologists, you know, any of us. just taking care of ourselves. So, of course, the stress response is a big one for me. But I want to move into our last topic, which I really am kind of excited about what you guys came up with. The topics that we should consider for 2020. Joe, I'm just going to throw yours out, and then you can talk about them. But more law enforcement involvement. And you're right. We haven't talked so much. We talk about EMS a lot and certainly disaster responders, but not so much law enforcement. And I agree with that. Also, you want to get some of your military special operations folks to cover the uniqueness of what they do and how they train. And that's another one I love. And also interviewing more physician leaders in EMS, wilderness, and disaster. And hopefully you can find some of those folks for us. So you want to give us some thoughts on that?
Well, I think they're kind of self-explanatory. I do think that, I love working with the special operations community and the military. We do a lot of that kind of work. It's been a really busy year for us for that. And I continue to be overwhelmingly impressed and proud to have that opportunity to work with those guys. They are really some amazing people on so many different levels. And I think there are techniques there that we can utilize in both disaster and EMS response. I think the law enforcement side of that kind of ties into that a bit. There was yet again another active shooter event today. There was one yesterday in Pensacola, Florida, and another one today in Jersey City with, multiple people killed or injured. And it's clear that that problem is not going to go away anytime soon. And until we figure out how to get those kind of events under control, we're going to have to be better prepared to respond to them and hopefully do a better job than we have in the past in intervening quickly, efficiently, and safely to save lives.
Well, Kyle just mentioned he might be able to connect us with the Summer and Winter X Games doc. That would be awesome. And on the note of really specific special events like that, a friend of mine is a physician that works with Burning Man. So maybe we can get some of those docs in here that handle these very unique situations. Any thoughts on those topics, Jamie?
I'm really fascinated to expand our knowledge base and connect more with law enforcement and with special operations, military, as well, because they bring a unique set of skills and perspective to these types of situations that, again, just like I talked about with international learning from international lessons learned, there are certainly lessons we can learn from cross-training with people with these types of special skills. And so I would look forward to doing more with that.
Yes, and when I was involved in Urban Shield in Northern California, which was started out as a SWAT training, and then, we involved EMS and EOD and ambulance folks and all kinds of people, fire. Kyle, you just posted an interesting article. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Sam, I think it's going to be great, as Joe said, to get some more folks from the military and law enforcement side involved, who play a vital role both domestically and abroad as well, and deal with many unique challenges in their environment with stabilizing and treating casualties there in the field. And the article I posted, and I hope we can expand on this in a future episode, is a new medical training that some of you may have heard, or those of you in the military, combat lifesaver training that's taught across most disciplines. And looking at the military is looking at replacing that with a new tactical combat casualty care course. So kind of updating that curriculum from lessons learned in the field. And I'm really excited to learn what new things they're applying, new technologies, new techniques, so that we can also help save folks domestically with active shooter and active harmer events.
I agree. And it just occurred to me, I have a friend that teaches that advanced combat level EMS. So I can get him on the hook as well. Kyle, your favorite topic is actually anything involving disaster preparedness for both natural and planned events, like we mentioned. There's a lot we can do with that. Any further thoughts on that?
Well, for me, Sam, I think that kind of, I kind of agree with Jamie on some of the technology interests and sort of looking at future topics and things for us, how we can continue to share stories of innovation. And that's across technologies, ideas, and just operations globally that truly disrupt the normal of today's disaster response, because we're, I think, uniquely positioned here in the podcast to talk about preparedness, which has really expanded in scope greatly with all the great thought leaders that we've brought in. But we, both as regular folks here on the podcast, but also our guests, are often disruptors when it comes to sharing ideas and innovative things that we've seen, we've learned, we've done. And it's something that's amazing that sets us apart from other podcasts. And I'm excited to see that continue.
Yes. And like Jamie, you're really interested in continued innovations in general that are coming out of, and you know, sometimes it comes out of war, sometimes it comes out of incidents. So that will continue to evolve. And one of the things you mentioned, which I really liked, was responder education in general, like the class you were just talking about. Skill sets are changing, interdisciplinary skill sets. And so there's a lot going on there. And Joe, you know that well, because you're involved in it, both with Paragon and with your CPR research.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, I think it's breaking down those silos on not only a personal level, but institutional and organizational levels that are incredibly important to maximize our resiliency and our ability to respond to disasters and manage them effectively.
Becky, your thoughts on those topics or anything else you'd like to throw out there?
I think they're all really relevant for what's going on in the world today, particularly with another active shooting, two actually in the past couple of weeks that have both been in very public settings. There was the shooting incident on the highway, I think in California, and then another one in Jersey City today. So I think learning more about that, more about what's going on behind the scenes when it comes to training for that with law enforcement, I think would be really, really fascinating. And I think a lot of people would be interested in that.
I agree. And Jamie, when in talking about your focus on technology, you mentioned some specific things that can be better leveraged for preparedness and response. So you have weather modeling. I want you to just touch base on these things: drones for recon, apps for volunteers, and logistics tools. I mean, there are several podcasts right there.
Tell us a bit. We've talked about it here, and you know, the weather modeling is something that that both Becky and Kyle have talked about in detail on several different episodes. I think it would be interesting to do an episode or a series of episodes on how, you know, the weather modeling is changing and adapting, you know, as computing technology becomes more capable to do more and more calculations, that those models can become more and more complex. And it would be interesting to see how that's evolved over the years. You know, we see the storm tracks that are put up during hurricanes as they approach the coast, and so much was made of that this year when some of the tracks went inland and some of the tracks stayed off the coast, and you know what Hurricane Dorian was going to do, and the lessons we learned, you know, kind of on how those things are done. I think it would be interesting to really talk about that at length in the coming year. So that's just one of those things, you know, drones and apps and logistics tools. It's just all about technology in general and how those things can be used to better enable community resilience, really. Becky, you had a comment.
Yeah, Becky, I'm sure, has a thought on weather modeling.
Well, it's you're absolutely right, Jamie, in that, you know, the models are getting better and better. But I think at the same time, there's also a necessity for humans, for meteorologists, to not only keep up with these models, but also figure out how do we now best complement them. So the role of the forecaster of a meteorologist is significantly changing and is only going to continue to change. And if that's ever a topic that we'd like to discuss, I have a lot of people or a select few that I think would really enjoy talking about that.
Ooh, let's go for it, Becky. Well, as we're winding down here, which will probably be the third part of this long episode, we sure like to talk, don't we? What are your final thoughts about where we've been this year or where we might be going? Becky, you've been with us for quite a while now.
I think about a year we're coming up on, and I've just got to say thank you guys. I think I say this a lot, but I really have learned so much. And as I finished up my degree in emergency management, I think I'm really understanding how much there still is to learn. And a lot of that is learned by doing. But because I have, you know, limited availability to do a lot of this, I think I'm able to learn by listening to all of you and your experiences and what you do, how you approach it, the kinds of things that you learn from the incidents that you're involved with. I think it's hugely valuable for myself and for all of the Disaster Podcast listeners.
Well, maybe we can get Joe to take you out on a response sometime. Kyle, final thoughts?
Well, Sam, as I'm just passed my 3-year anniversary here on the podcast, again, thank you to you and Jamie and Joe and the whole team for inviting me on board and keeping me around. It's been a ton of fun, both sharing and learning as we go forward and seeing how the conversation continues to evolve and topics continue to become more intertwined. And I think that really speaks to the nature of disaster response globally and just how we are continuing to need to diversify as practitioners of emergency medicine and of disaster response, and seeing increasingly how these different fields are intertwining between meteorology, disaster response, technology, and everything else that's in there. And I'm really excited to see what 2020 holds for us.
I agree. We've loved having you both. It's hard to believe it's been 3 years since I coerced you, Kyle, coming on the show. And fortunately, you got to stay. But Dr. Joe, we certainly couldn't. I think we're going into year 7 now. I'm starting to lose track. But Dr. Joe, we couldn't have done it without you and, you know, the support from Paragon. And, of course, you're here almost with us every episode to either tell us a good clinical story or to give us your great comments. And, you know, what are your final thoughts about where we've been? And, of course, with you, it's been quite a few more years and what we're looking for in 2020. And hopefully we can get the Sasquatch back on the podcast.
Yeah, I hope we can. It's hard to believe we're going into our 7th year of this. You know, it literally seems like 7 months. I think back often on the comments that we've said to each other many times about, I hope we can come up with something to talk about. And yet 7 years on and what is that, 300 plus 50 episodes maybe over 7 years. That's an awful lot of talking. So we've not ever had any problem coming up with a new topic and interesting stuff to talk to, fascinating people and amazing stuff to learn. I think to me, it's all about community and sharing information and learning from each other. The more I do this, the more I realize how little I know and how many amazing people there are out there involved in this kind of work. And I'm very excited about finding some more of those folks and getting them on the podcast.
And I'm sure we will. yes, this episode is a good example of we never run out of things to talk about. Becky, you had another thought?
No, I think those are showing up a little late. That was back to Jamie's comment about weather models.
Ah, I guess I missed that one. Well, Jamie, I guess it's off to you.
Some of the folks that that listen to the show, you know, probably already know this, but for those of you that don't, when we do these shows on Skype, we actually have a running commentary going on in the chat room on the side so that we can, you know, let folks know when we have a comment or a question to jump in on a given topic. And I think there's a lag going on because because Sam kept checking in just a little behind on that. And that sometimes happens, you know, technology, what are you going to do? But I think this has been a great episode, an example of not only do we run out of things, never run out of things to talk about and keep discussing here on the show, but also a special thank you to Paragon Medical Education Group, all the things that Joe has done to bring this episode and all of the episodes to you. 350 episodes of this podcast, 7 years of this podcast are here, folks, because of the continued support from Paragon Medical Education Group. And I hope that you all appreciate that. Take some time and really look into what they do. In fact, the episode just preceding these three episodes that we're doing on this recording is a great example of how customizable what Joe and the rest of the team at Paragon can do for you. So I'm going to refer back to that for you to go listen to that episode if you haven't already. And, you know, Joe, when folks listen to that episode and say, hey, maybe we can get them to come in and help us, what is it? What's the best way for them to reach out to you? And what kind of questions should they have first on their list?
Well, we definitely want to talk to folks. You know, part of what we do is, as a premier education company, is make customized training to meet the needs of our customers. So we want to talk to folks. We would ask that they give us a call or reach out to us electronically, either at paragonmedicalgroup.com, where you can learn all about us and see some footage and photos and that kind of stuff. Or through Paragon Medical Group on Facebook, or you can always reach us through the Disaster Podcast.
And again, thank you for your continued support. You know, 7 years going into year 8 here, I guess, and it's just fascinating that we've been able to keep this going and have the opportunity to meet so many amazing people through the podcast. And like you said, Joe, I'm looking forward to another year of us bringing on some really interesting and knowledgeable folks to continue all of us in our learning curve here to find out and be more knowledgeable about disaster response. Sam, you know, this episode, you know, we started out thinking it was going to be a half hour and it was an hour and now it's an hour and a half. And that's okay because, you know, I think this has been a good recap of a great year.
It has, and it's been a great discussion. And my final thought is I want to throw a shout out to the community because so many of these good ideas have come from them. So many of them have become speakers on the podcast, and I know there's a lot more of that coming up. But that's one of the better things we did was start that Facebook group. And I'm talking to you all now. You've heard us talk about our favorite episodes and what we're looking for in 2020, and we want to hear it from you. I have a long list I'm already working on that I got to find the right people for, and I've got the right people I've got to find the right topic for, but we have a whole lot going on in 2020. So, I don't know, Jamie, it's hard to wrap this one up. We had a good time here tonight.
We definitely did, and you know, I think that we can just kind of sum this up, and maybe I'll take over and do the tagline this week. But it's an example of a disaster podcast is not your everyday podcast.